Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. And today, yes, we are live. I thank you for the grace extended over the last week and yesterday. If you didn't know, our church, Hope City Church, went to two services on Sunday mornings. And last week, just kind of gearing up to that, we changed almost everything in regards to our structure and who's doing what and how everything runs on a Sunday morning. So I really just wanted to make sure that last week had my full attention. So I presented to you some episodes of the James Epperly Show that I feel like are and have been just wonderful interviews to help encourage and inspire your faith. So I hope they blessed you this past week and, of course, yesterday. But today we are back live, right? So thank you again for that. And again, I like when we have these interviews with guests because, man, they come with such a wealth of knowledge. And I think it's an honor and a privilege to be able to bring that to you and into your world. So good morning. So let me say again, if you are watching on any of the platforms that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, please do so. It helps us continue to get this message out to more people and around the world. And of course, we are streaming on almost every social media platform, streaming on TikTok Live today, and of course, around the world on the Pioneer Television Network. So welcome to everybody. I'm so glad that you are here today. Well, I want to jump into a word that I'm going to continue throughout this week. I love when God kind of gives me a theme for the week, if you will, because I think it helps just reframe, if you will, just kind of leaning into a subject and not just having a one-off message, but really being able to dive into it and get a little bit more meat out of it, if you would. But this week, I want to talk to you about what I think is one of the most debated topics in the body of Christ. Now, I don't believe that it should be because I think if you look at the life and the ministry of Jesus and what the Word of God says, I think there's very little to debate about the topic. But I understand that for some people, it's a debatable topic, and I want to bring some clarity around it, open up the Word of God together, and flush this thing out, as they would say. So I want to talk to you this week about divine healing. That's right, divine healing. And finding out, is it really God's will to heal? Right? Is God in the healing business? Is you know, are preachers who claim that that's right, are they right? Are they wrong? What's going on with all of this? So anyway, that's what I want to dive into this week. And I want to lay some foundation, some solid teaching, to look at what the Word of God says, because I think once we know what the Word of God says, again, we don't frame our expectation on our experiences, right? We don't frame the Word of God based off of our experiences. No, we base our expectation off of the Word of God. So you might say, well, you know, this hasn't been my experience. Okay. There could be a myriad of reasons for that. But what we do is we come back to the Word of God and we say, this is His Word. This is what it says. And this is how we base our life. If you base your life off of your experience and everybody else's experience, come on, that's relative truth. Well, it's true to me, but it's not true to them. And truth is whatever you perceive it to be. No, there is an absolute truth. So when we dive into this book together, we find out what absolute truth is, we find out what the will of God is, and then we go after that will with all of our hearts, right? So that's what we want to do this week. So is it really God's will to heal? Well, I believe that the foundation of faith begins with knowing the will of God. The foundation of faith begins in knowing the will of God, right? You can't have faith beyond your knowledge of what God's will is. I talked to the church this past week. We were talking about Ezekiel and the Valley of the Dry Bones. And one of the things that came out of that message was, you know, sometimes we have to stop praying and start prophesying. And we looked at how Ezekiel, God said, I see an exceeding great army, right? Like that was the will of God. Ezekiel was looking in the natural. He was looking at his experience. He was looking at what was in front of him. And the word of God said, I see an exceeding great army. Where you see dry bones, I see an exceeding great army, right? So what Ezekiel didn't need to do in that moment is turn to God and say, now, Lord, what is your will concerning these dry bones? He didn't need to do that. Why? He knew what the will of God was. Why? God told him to see an exceeding great army come from these bones. So what did God say? Don't pray anymore. Prophesy. He said, Ezekiel, open your mouth and prophesy what my will is to those bones. And so I say this is when you understand the will of God on a situation or on a subject or over your life, there's a point where, and hear me on this, but where prayer should cease and prophecy should begin, right? We don't beg and petition God like he doesn't hear us. The Bible says that when we pray, we know that he hears, that he heard us. So if it's not manifesting, then what we need to do is be like Ezekiel, walk out knowing the will of God, that it's his will to do this or it's his will for that. And we begin to prophesy over those bones according what the will of God is. So, but here's where most people fall short is if they don't know the will of God. Well, I'm not sure if this is God's will. Well, then you should be in prayer, praying, God, show me your will, or opening this book and saying, God, show me your will. Why? Because faith cannot exist where the will of God is not known. You cannot have faith beyond your knowledge of God's word, right? So faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you don't know that healing is God's will, right? If you're like on the fence with that, and I've heard some teaching about that, but I'm not quite sure, and it seems too good to be true, all of that, you're going to struggle to receive. Why? Because you're not convinced that it's God's will. We came into salvation. How? Because we heard a preacher, and a preacher told us that it was God's will that we should be saved. Right? That there was this wonderful opportunity. And I always think it's so funny that, you know, we trust God with our eternity. Like we get saved and we say, God, when I close my eyes and I leave this planet for the last time, right? Like when I'm out of here, I'm going to trust you with my eternity. But when it comes to here and now, for the years that I'm on this earth, I mean, your years on this earth compared to your years in eternity, don't even compare. And we say, I trust God with my eternity. But when it comes to my years here on this earth, I'm just not sure. Right? Like, come on. So we got to know the will of God. We got to say, God, I trust you. And the same way we heard a preacher say, well, salvation belongs to the children of God. Salvation is for everyone, right? But when you receive it, you become a child of God. We believe that. We receive it. Why? Because it's that we were told or we were taught. We discovered that that is the will of God. But where the will of God is not known, here's what I want you to understand. You will not be able to operate in full faith. I remember several years ago, somebody came into our church that we didn't know, never met them before, didn't know their name, and they wrote a very large check to our church. And at the time, what they didn't know is we were believing God for me to be able to transition out of working outside of the church, a different job, and doing the church as well. And just because it was the church was growing and it was becoming a lot, if my family was growing, the church was growing, and I just needed to bring my attentions here. And we were trusting God and believing. And this person came in and wrote a check, and it was the amount that we needed to cover my salary for 2 years. And I remember our offering counter lady came running out waving this check, and she's like, Pastor, you won't believe it. This is exactly what we've been praying for. Of course, we were celebrating, we were rejoicing, but I said, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. I don't know them. I've never seen them. I don't know the name. Let's cash it first and make sure that it's real and it comes back and it doesn't bounce. And this wasn't some kind of cruel practical joke. So, you know, those first few days as we're waiting for that check to clear, you know, we're all kind of on edge. And it did clear, and it was a miracle, and we celebrated. But my point is, because I didn't know the person, I didn't know their character. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know, were they a person of the word, if they could write a check that large. I just didn't know them. It brought hesitancy to my life in being able to really receive that gift. Why? We were all on edge because we didn't know the character of the person. And when you're not sure of the will of God, when you live your life not knowing God's will, what his word says, I mean, and it's not a mystery. It's all right here in this book. You will always approach different areas of life with that hesitancy. Well, I don't know. Should I believe God for a promotion? Is that being greedy? Or should I believe God for blessing in my finances? Is that that prosperity stuff? Whenever you're not sure of the will of God, faith can't exist. Right? So what do you have to do? Get in this book. Get in this book for yourself. Don't just take it on a preacher's word. The best revelation you will ever get in your life is when the Spirit of God illuminates it on the inside of you. Get in here and start reading the will of God. Start reading what he says about you. You can listen to one preacher say one thing and another one say another thing and be confused. Just get in the book. Find out the will of God concerning you and your life and what his desire is. And now when situations arise and you're like, well, I don't know, does my finances are struggling? Does God want me to bless me? Well, David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. The word of God says, I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the valley. I'm blessed in the storehouse. Everything I put my hand to do is blessed. He said, dearly beloved, it is my will that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I could go on and on and on. Why? Because I understand the will of God concerning finances to those who follow God. So now when a situation arises, I'm not, oh, I don't know. I move forward in confidence because I know the will of God concerning me, right? So where the will of God is unknown, there will always be hesitancy. And that's why we got to get in this book. All right, so is it God's will to heal? Well, let's start in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And it says, behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now listen to those words. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Listen, a few things I want to point out here is, first of all, notice the man believed in Jesus' ability, but doubted Jesus' willingness. Most people would believe that God can. Most people know that if you could stand on nothing and create the universe and hold it all in the palm of your hand and you know, hold the sun and the moon and just, you know, create light. Like if you can do all of that, like you can heal me. And that's not where most people get hung up. Most people don't get hung up on can God. They get hung up on will God. Will God heal me? Is it his will to heal me? Listen, I believe that Jesus removed the doubt around this forever when he declared, I am willing. Remember what he said? I am willing. Actually, if you study the word of God, you will never find one time that somebody came to Jesus and asked for healing and he said no. You'll never find a time where somebody said, Jesus, will you heal me? And he said, no. I love it. Pastor Parsley says it this way. He says, if God didn't want to heal you, he shouldn't have. If God didn't want to heal you, he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have. What do I mean by that? Or what did Pastor Parsley mean by that? Is healing is not a future event. Healing is a past reality. And we're getting into this a little bit more this week, but when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible teaches us, and we'll break down all these scriptures, that the stripes on his back, he bore our sickness, he bore our iniquity, he bore our diseases onto the cross. So just as salvation was purchased at the cross, so was healing. So was healing. So if God didn't want to heal you, then he shouldn't have. The same as we wouldn't come and say, well, Lord, if you're willing to save me. No, we know it's a resounding yes. It's my will that all should come to me. Whoever would call upon my name will be saved. We know that it's a resounding yes that we would receive salvation. And that salvation was already bought at the cross, right? But the same is true when it comes to divine healing in our life. It's already a past reality. So Jesus responded to this man. He said, I am willing. I am willing. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So healing is the nature of who God is. It's the nature of who God is. Actually, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. You can find that listed in Exodus 26. But Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He's not just a God of love. He is love, right? We know that. He's not just a God of salvation to save your soul that you can trust him with your eternity. We know that he is, but he's also Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. The Bible says he comes with healing in his wings. It's who he is. It's his nature. He cannot deny himself. He's a God of absolute healing. Just as much as we would say, well, you can't separate love from God because God is love. You can't separate healing from God because healing is God. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So healing is actually a part of the atonement. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but at the cross, Isaiah 53 would tell us that by his stripes, the stripes that he took upon his back, by those stripes, we are healed. Now, I want you to really see this. I know I keep repeating this, but I want you to see that healing was purchased at the same time as salvation. At the same time as salvation. So if you believe that God forgives sin, come on, then you can believe that God heals sickness. If you believe that God can forgive sin, then you can believe that God can forgive sickness. Why? Because they were purchased at the same time. It's like a twofer deal, right? Like Sarah hates when I go to the grocery store shopping because I will come back with all kinds of stuff that wasn't on the list. And I'm like, well, I couldn't help it because it said buy one, get one free. And how do you pass up that deal? And she's like, what does it matter if you buy one and get one free? I didn't need either of them. Right. But that's when salvation was purchased at the cross, when salvation was purchased at the atonement, so was healing. But just as we can believe God for salvation, we can trust him for healing. And then listen, look at the ministry of Jesus. Healing is Jesus's his consistent ministry. Sometimes he fed the hungry, right? Like you remember when he turned the bread and fed the 5,000, multiplied it. He didn't do that every time. Sometimes he did that. Sometimes he gave prophecy or words of knowledge or called people out. Sometimes. But what did he do every time? Anytime there was a willing participant, he healed. He healed them. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed the sick. At Matthew 12:15 tells us, says, great multitudes followed him. And listen to what it says. And he healed them all. Great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. Matthew 12:15. Jesus never refused anyone. Show me one time in scripture, you won't find it. He never refused anyone who came to him in faith. We know faith is that currency of the kingdom of God. It's faith that gets God's attention. It's faith that moves the heart of God. And anyone who came to him in faith, he always, always resounded with an absolute yes. So healing is a covenant right for believers. We've talked about this a few months ago about being a part of the new covenant, but when you are born again, you enter into a new covenant. Healing is a part of the covenant package. Healing is just as much of the covenant package as salvation is. So, how do we receive healing? And we're going to keep breaking this down every day, but how do we receive if we are starting to say, okay, I'm starting to see some things here. Maybe I'm not sold on it. Maybe I'm not sure, but how would I begin to receive healing? Well, number one is we have to renew our minds with the Word of God. We have to quit saying things like, maybe God wants me sick. You know, there's a whole lot of people who would teach and believe that, well, God put a sickness on me because he wants to teach me something. Which, you find me a scripture where Jesus put sickness on somebody to teach them something. Like, that's not the nature of who God is. God never put sickness on somebody to teach them something. Never. And here's what's funny about that is, I don't believe that's true at all, but for people who believe that, but yet they will go to the doctor to try to get well and take medicine to try to remove the pain. And it always makes me laugh because I'm saying, well, if you're saying that God put this on you to teach you something, then you taking any type of medicine or treatment to get well would actually be then in rebellion against the will of God. Because if God's putting it on you and you're trying to take it off of you, that would be rebellion against the will of God, wouldn't it? So it's just crazy to me when people are like, yeah, I'm going to the doctor and again, hear my heart. I'm all for going to the doctor. I believe that God created medicine. He gave, you know, in the earth, the whole earth testifies of who he is. You know, we believe in natural healing as much as divine healing. But don't misinterpret what I'm saying there. But what I'm saying for people who believe, well, God put this disease on me because he wanted to humble me or he wanted to teach me something. For those people to turn around and say, God put it on me, but I'm going to do everything in my power to get it off of me, would be then saying, I am trying to override the will of God. It's just, right? So no, I believe that it's not God's will for any to be sick, right? So I believe that God will use medicine, he'll use doctors, he'll use treatments, he'll use all those things to aid and to bring healing, and we should lean into those things, but never misinterpret that even when those things fall short, there's divine healing. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she went to every physician. Everybody couldn't help her. You know, she ran out of money. No doctor could figure out what was wrong with her. But then she said within herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Right? So it's like, yeah, let's explore natural medicine. Let's, you know, get what treatment we can get. But let's also believe God. I always tell people, listen, do what the doctors tell you to do. Take what you're supposed to take, but trust God for divine healing. That those things can do what they're supposed to do, you know, but I'm not going to be on it forever. Until that healing manifests, I'll do what doctors tell me to do. But I'm going to trust him for that divine healing, that it's manifested in my life. So we have to renew our mind and stop saying, well, maybe God wants me sick. Maybe this is God's will. Maybe God's mad at me. Maybe God's cursed me. We got to renew our mind, reject that, and say, no, it is God's will that I am healed. It is God's will that I am healed. Now, let me say this to you, and I'm probably going to say this every day this week because this is something that God really speaks to me about and is speaking to me about constantly, is that sometimes we work completely against the will of God by our actions and our deeds. So what do I mean by that? Here's what God's been saying to me, dealing with me about. He's been saying, Jim, I want you to get in shape. I want you to lose some weight. I need you to get healthy. You know, you're about to have 5 kids. You got a ministry to run. You got a television network to run. I need energy. I need stamina. I need to be able to stay in the game a long time, right? And every day, it's like another excuse, and I'm eating bad, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And what God deals with me and has been dealing with me about, and this can apply in every area of your life, finances, health, marriage, relationships, whatever, is if I'm not willing to do naturally if I'm not willing to adjust naturally what I need to adjust to come into alignment with the will of God, then I'm working in opposition to the will of God. So if God's calling me to divine health, to live healthy, to be healthy, but I'm saying, God, I believe you want me healed. God, I believe you want me well, but I'm going to eat every piece of junk food I can get my hands on and fast food and fried food, and I'm just going to trust you that you're going to heal me. What am I doing? I'm making my body work in opposition to the will of God, right? And so then I come and I say, well, God, heal my body because something's wrong with it because of how I'm eating or what I'm doing. And God's going to point right back to me and says, healing is my will for you, but you have to make adjustments. The same is true in finance, right? You can go to God and say, God, bless my finances all day long. But when God says, I want to bless your finances, but I need you to get on a budget. I need you to participate in the blessing. I need you to give your 10% to the church, right? We understand that's a biblical principle. How have we robbed God in our tithes and our offerings? So when we're saying, well, God, I don't want to tithe. I don't want to give an offering. I don't want to be on a budget. I just want you to bless me. No, you're working in opposition to the blessing. So the same with in relationships. Well, God, I want you to fix that relationship. God, fix my marriage. But I'm not going to be the first to apologize. They got to come to me first. You're working in opposition, right? And God, the Holy Spirit might be like, fix that attitude. Don't say that. Let that go. Repent of this. And you're like, no, don't fix me, fix them. And God says, you are working in opposition to my will by what you're doing. So here's what I say is that oftentimes when we aren't willing to adjust our lifestyle or our eating habits, we're not willing to exercise or do the things that doctors and science and medicine and the word of God would teach us are wise to do to stay in divine health. I did an interview and I showed it this last week with Dr. Don Colbert, and he was talking about the health zone. And if you watch that interview, you remember this, but he was talking about how just operating in love and how science has proven that when people are in love and they are optimistic, how their health follows suit. But science has proven that people who are bitter, people who are unforgiving, people who are always negative, their health follows suit. And that's literally the word of God, but science is proving it. And again, all those things. So you're saying, God, heal my body, help me be in divine health. But the Holy Spirit said, but I need you to forgive that person because it's tarnishing your soul and it's affecting you physically. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. What are we doing? We're working in direct opposition to the will of God for our lives. I'm just submitting. I'm trying to give as balanced of a teaching on this as I can. Because again, I want us, we believe in natural medicine. I believe that if you're not helping aid your prayers, right? If you're not willing to sacrifice for what you're believing God for, then are you really operating in faith? And on top of all of that, we believe in divine healing. Now you might be saying, okay, well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to make some changes in my life. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to start eating. I'm going to start working. I'm going to do what it is that I can do, what I believe God's calling me to do. I'm going to change my life, but I already have this situation on me. I already have this sickness. What do I do? Is God mad at me and trying to, you know, because I got myself here and I didn't listen to him when he spoke to me in the last season? Absolutely not. See, it's not that God put sicknesses on you. It's that when you operate in direct opposition or rebellion, whatever you want to call it, opposition to the will and plan of God for your life, you remove yourself from the covering of God. Why? Because his covering is in his will. And you open a door for the adversary. And again, I don't think every sickness that happens to us is because of the adversary. Sometimes it's because of what we're eating. Sometimes it's because we're so stressed out, right? We don't got good work-life balance. Sometimes it's because we're staying up too late, watching television. Now our immune system is down. And lo and behold, it's cold and flu season. Our immune system is wrecked because we've been watching television all the, you know, to 2 o'clock in the morning and eating junk food. And no wonder, right? Like, no wonder. So I'm just trying to bring this in a balanced approach, if you will, of divine healing, because sometimes, you know, we say it's God or we say it's the devil. And sometimes it is the devil. Sometimes it's something out of left field that's nothing that you did. It's just an attack of the adversary. But sometimes it's just us reaping. What does the Bible say? What a man sows, he will reap. Reaping the end result of what it is that we have sown. We have sown a decade of eating bad, and now we're reaping the results of that. But let me just give you this to encourage you. If that's what you find yourself in, like me, right? Like God's been talking to me about this for a while. And I go back to that woman with the issue of blood, as we talked about her a little bit today. What's interesting about her story is historians have kind of gone through and tried to see what diseases were prevalent in that day. I know the screens behind me are doing all kind of weird stuff. That's all right. But what diseases were prevalent in that day that would have caused her to have an issue of blood? And what they have found is that most likely that the issue of blood that she has was caused by some type of STD. And what I think is powerful about that knowledge is when she came to Jesus seeking for healing, what he didn't say to her was, how did you get here? No, he didn't care how she got in it. He just wanted to get her out of it. He didn't care how she got in it. He just wanted to get her out of it, right? So I love that story because it's like, yep, God, I made some bad decisions and now I'm in financial problems. Is he willing to help me? 1,000 times, yes. Well, I'm reaping the benefits, or not the benefits, but I'm reaping the curse of a unhealthy lifestyle. Is God willing to help me get out of this? Yes, 100% yes. His will is still to heal you. But what I'm teaching is we believe in divine healing. It is God's will. It's always God's will to heal. However, we need to work in alignment with that will and not work in opposition and say, well, I'm going to do whatever it is I'm going to want to do. And then I'm just going to ask God to heal my body. I said it on Sunday, but God's not trying to bless your mess. Come on. The whole teaching on Ezekiel was all about that, about the process. He wanted them to understand how they got to where they are. If you don't know all this, go back and watch Sunday's message. It was good. He wanted them to see the process of how they got to where they are, because if God really wanted to destroy you, he would instantaneously fix everything for you, but never reveal to you or never teach you how you got there in the first place. But it's only when you realize I got here because of A, B, and C, would you be set up to never get there again. Are you with me? So is it God's will to heal? Well, I say a resounding yes. Yes, healing is not something that God reluctantly gives. It is his will. It's his desire. It's his nature. Jesus said, I am willing, be healed. And I believe that that word is for you. That word is for me. And just as we receive salvation and we say, all right, now I'm a believer. Now I'm going to base my life off of his word, and my life is going to look like the life of a believer. When you believe that you're healed, when you believe that you receive it, you don't just say, all right, I'm going to go back to how I was before. No, now you say, I'm going to base my decisions and my actions and my activity in alignment with the reality of that healing. So let me pray for you today. And if you need divine healing, I just encourage you, just stretch your hand right now. Wherever you are, he can do it. It's his will. He wants to do it. The Father, I pray for every person watching and listening right now who might have a physical or mental need or emotional need in their life where they need divine healing. Lord, we understand that it is your will, 100% your will to heal. Anyone who came to you in faith, you always gave a resounding yes. And we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Father, we believe that right now it is your will that our bodies would be healed. Lord, I know you don't care how we got into it. You just want to help us get out of it. So Father, reveal to us where we need to make adjustments. Reveal to us where we need to make changes and help us walk out in victory in Jesus' name. But Father, today we receive healing by faith. It is your children's bread. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. And I declare and I prophesy over you, you are healed even now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So I believe you received that by faith. I believe if you can, do something you couldn't do before, check something, just take a step of faith and say, well, maybe I can, maybe it's gone, and just check. Yeah, and if it's not, you don't got to make it up. That healing can manifest instantly. But there were some people that even Jesus healed in scripture, that it says as they went, they were healed, right? So sometimes it happens like that, and sometimes it happens in the going. Either way, we've received it by faith. Either way, we know it's God's will. So we receive it. And when the enemy comes in and says, no, no, it doesn't look like it's working. No, it is his will. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. But I also want to remind you that if you want prayer, right? Like sometimes, you know, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. If you want somebody to agree with you, text the word prayer to 717-500-3575. We have a prayer team that would absolutely love to stand with you in agreement in prayer. So do that. Let us pray with you. If you got a testimony that God brought healing to your life, go ahead and text prayer to that word and let us know about it. We'd love to celebrate with you. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. I want to remind you, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we are bringing back our midweek service. Come on, it's our fall semester and midweek service. So at 6:30, we're going to be gathering for a time of prayer. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to kick off our 1 hour service with a time of worship and then teaching. And I know it's going to bless your life. So mark it in your calendar, make it a part of your routine, worship with us on Wednesday night, and I know it will bless you. Well, thank you for being with me today. Remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.